Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 26 down through verse 35. But before I do, I want you to remember especially Mrs. Shookey in the hospital. And she's back in intensive care again, and she's not doing well at all. I did have a chance to talk with her last night, and I asked her point blank. I said, "Edna, I said, if the Lord calls you, are you ready to go?" She said, "I have no fear, I'm trusting Him." Now that's the first time she's ever told me that. Most of the time it's been, "I hope so." Now she said, "I have no fear, I'm trusting Him." That's good news, isn't it? In other words, something's happened to her between now and the last time I talked with her. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Our subject this morning, the greatness of Christ revealed. And we're going to look at the greatness of our Lord. Now always remember, and I want you to keep this in mind, and don't ever forget it, that the Lord Jesus is the main person of the Bible. Now we're in the book of Leviticus right now. And we're in the sin offering this morning. And we brought out and we'll be in the sin offering again next week. We're bringing out there how that Christ was our sin offering. All right? Christ is all burnt, setting forth not only His perfection, but also His absolute, complete devotion. And I'm so glad that we have in the heavens at this hour the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the perfect God-man. And when He offered Himself unto God in our behalf, it was a perfect offering demanded by a perfect God, and it satisfied or propitiated a perfect God. That's why any other way than through Christ, it's not acceptable. The Israelites were told that, and we'll tell it to you again. The Israelites had to bring that sin offering. Nothing else good. They couldn't deviate from that sin offering. They had to come that way. All right? This is God's word, and this is God's strictness. You and I got to come God's way, not any other way. People have the idea that they can bring anything to God. They can come any way they want to. And like the average religion is, you know, we're all traveling to heaven, but we're all going by different highway. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." And that's right. And there is no other way but Him. Now, have you come by Him? If you haven't, you're not going to get to heaven. I don't care how religious you may be. You're not going to get to glory. You've got to come through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the greatness of Christ for a few moments. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Notice what it says. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Shall we pray together? Our Lord, this morning, we stand in need of thy blessing and of thy unction. And so we ask thee, Lord, grant it to us according to thy will. Thou dost know this audience. Thou dost know the destiny of every soul in this room. Thou dost know the depravity of the heart, the inability of the human vessel, the opposition of Satan. And so we ask thee, our Lord, meet with us this morning by sending forth thy word in power and clay and giving listening ears and attentive hearts. Work out thy purpose here, Lord. Need to know thee. We have teenagers who need Christ. Open their eyes. Some of them, Lord, are facing difficult situations. and we lift them to Thee, and we ask Thee, open their hearts, open their eyes, bring them unto Thyself. Because, Lord, Thou dost know today it's difficult for a teenager in these hours. Then we pray for adults who need Thee, boys and girls that need Thee, and we ask Thee, our Lord, meet every need that's here this morning. For any that may be discouraged and downhearted, lift them up as only Thou canst do, and get their eyes upon Thee. And then again, we pray for these that are sick and afflicted, work out Thy purpose there for Thy glory. Now give us a meeting with Thee this morning, and honor us with Thy presence. And Lord, all the glory belongs to Thee. We ask it, Lord, for Thy sake. Amen. Our subject this morning, the greatness of Christ revealed. Now we're going to look at two things. I have a difficult time getting out of this portion of the Word of God because it looks like the Lord is just showing me one thing that I haven't seen here before, and probably you haven't either. Now for a few moments this morning, I want to look with you at the preaching of the gospel as God's method of saving individuals. He doesn't save them by flannel graph. He doesn't save them by movies. And they all have their place. But He doesn't save people by that means. They put a figure on the thing and they say, that's the Lord Jesus. No, that's man's idea of the Lord Jesus. God saves by the foolishness of preaching. And for you to be saved, faith's got to come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now our Lord preaches the gospel. And when He preaches the gospel, it's up to us to know what it is, and then to abide by it and believe it, because without the Lord Jesus Christ being your Redeemer, I'll tell you right now, you'll never enter into the portals of glory. Now people today have a dozen different ways to get converted. No, there's only one way, and that's God's way. It's no different in the New Testament than it was in the Old Testament. The Israelites, to be accepted by God, had to come God's way. For you and I to be saved, we've got to come God's way. I don't care how many times people try to twist it and change it and add to it or take away from it. It doesn't change it one iota. It's God's way and no other way. Now, in our lesson this morning, I want to look with you for a few moments, first of all, at the preaching of the gospel to Zechariah. Now, Zacharias here was, they were both too old to have children. Zacharias was a priest. He was a priest in the temple. And we find very clearly that they were both righteous before God and sticking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, and they were blameless as far as that was concerned. Yet we find this is what happened. We see very clearly that when God sets out to save a sinner, He does the same thing to that individual that He did to Zacharias. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, we find, first of all, it was the preaching of the gospel to Zacharias. In Luke chapter 1, look with me, if you will, verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Now, the preaching of the gospel to Zacharias has three simple points to it that we'll look at this morning. And we find, first of all, it is sent by God at His command. Now you stop and ask yourself this question this morning. Are you heaven bound or hell bent? Now only you and God know. If you know that you're hell bent, and you are if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care how religious you are. But if you're hell bent, then I'm going to tell you right now, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has got to come to you personally. And this is how it comes. It is purposed by God and it's illustrated by the angel Gabriel. Gabriel was sent by God to Zechariah. And the Lord God of heaven is sending the gospel to us as it's illustrated right here in our gathering here together. We didn't come here to be entertained. We didn't come here to make a lot of noise. We didn't come to do anything, and that is this, to have the Lord God of heaven speak to us. That's what we're here for. And we find very clearly it's the illustration of the preaching of the gospel. And as the Lord God of heaven sent Gabriel at His command, so the Lord God of heaven has put me here as pastor of this church at His command, and we're specifically gathered here to do one thing, and that is what? To have the gospel preached to us. Now the second thing about Zacharias was this. The gospel was sent by God at His command. It was specifically spoken to by the Lord God of heaven. Now you say, preacher, what were you talking about? The gospel was specifically made personal to Zacharias. Has that ever happened to you? I pray it has. Now, if the Lord opened your heart today, and maybe He opened it several weeks ago, and you know that you're a lost sinner, all right, then this second aspect of my lesson this morning is applied personally to you. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? You've been specifically spoken to, or you are being spoken to by the Lord. Some will hear, some won't. Now, how come? The Lord singled out that individual and speaks specifically to that person. This is what He did to Zechariah. He sent the angel Gabriel, and we find the Lord God of heaven does the same thing today by God the Holy Spirit. Take your Bibles now and turn to John chapter 6, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. In John chapter 6, we find very clearly, beginning with verse 63, the Lord Jesus had a crowd around Him, and this is what He said. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Now, preacher, what were you talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ just narrowed it right down. He said very clearly, He said, there's some of you here in my group that you don't believe. You can't believe because it is the Spirit that quickeneth and the flesh profiteth nothing. And He said point blank, there are of you that believe not. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of those people became angry with the Lord Jesus Christ and walked away and never came back. Now, how come? I'll tell you. God had not specifically spoken to them, setting forth very clearly this indelible truth that an individual can be in the presence of Christ and still miss Him and go to hell unless the Holy Spirit specifically speak to that person. Now chew on that. Some of you here today, do you think coming here is going to save you? It's not. It's an avenue that God has provided for you. But the Lord God of heaven must speak specifically to you as the angel Gabriel spoke specifically to Zacharias. And this takes place in the preaching of the gospel. Has God ever done this? If He has, you know it. If He has not, you also know it too, after what I've said to you this morning. The third thing about Zacharias was this. We find a special responsibility was laid upon him. Now go back again to Luke and look with me. Luke chapter 1, and notice what the angel Gabriel said to Zacharias. He said to him very clearly in verse 13, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now this is the message that Zechariah had. What was the message? Very simply this. Number one, your prayer's been heard. Number two, you're going to have a son. Number three, God's going to use him in a great way. And you know what Zacharias did? He did the same thing that a lot of you here are doing. He didn't believe. You say, preacher, what were you talking about? Verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. I'm too old to have a child, and so's my wife. How do you expect me to believe that? Now, what in the world are you talking about? Here was the responsibility laid upon Zacharias. What was it? He was either going to believe what God said or disbelieve. And the same thing is true here today. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ says very clearly, repent or perish, turn or burn, surrender or suffer. But there are people right here this morning that are sitting back and you're saying, well now, I'm waiting and I'm expecting God to do something supernatural apart from His Word, and I'll tell you right now, He's not going to do it. You see, you're like Zacharias. But a responsibility is laid upon the individual. Now you say, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Well, Zacharias said, how shall this be, seeing I'm an old man? In other words, he disbelieved what the angel said. And when an individual disbelieves what God says, they're calling God a liar. Now turn to 1 John chapter 5. And I want to see this. 1 John chapter 5. Listen to it again. We've used it before and we'll use it again. In John 5 and verse 7 we read, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. That's the Father, Christ the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, preacher, how can God the Father and how can God the Holy Spirit be in heaven and in my heart? Because He's omnipresent. He's God. There are three that bear record. Here's what they are: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now look again. In verse 8, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, preacher, wait a minute. First of all, you have the Holy Spirit. Is He here in this world? He is. Secondly, you have what? You have the water or the Word. We're saved by the washing of water by the Word. That's what it's talking about here. We have the Spirit. We have the Word. This is the Word of God. Now, hold your seat. Pay close attention to it. Then we also have the blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed on this earth. There's testimony to that reality. The Word of God bears testimony to Jesus Christ that whosoever will believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing else. Now let it soak in. Are you saved here today? If you're not, the responsibility is upon you. I've preached to you already the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And are you listening? You have not only a responsibility, but you also have a special act of grace bestowed upon you. You say, Pastor, what were you talking about? Hold your seat now, pay close attention. God never promised you that you'd have more than one time to hear the gospel. He never promised you more than one time. You're responsible. When Zacharias disbelieved, what did God do? God judged him. He made him both deaf and dumb for 9 months. Think of it. He was deaf and dumb for 9 months. And then God gave him a special act of grace. And what did he do when John the Baptist was born? They asked him what name he would be. They were going to call him Zacharias. His mother said, no, his name should be John. They made signs to their father. He asked for a pad of paper by sign language. He couldn't speak. He was dumb. He couldn't hear. He was deaf. Signs. He said his name should be John. And then God gave him a special act of grace and opened his tongue, and he was able to not only speak, but he was able to hear, and the result of it was he was praising the Lord. But now, wait a minute. You have a responsibility. You that are here without the Lord Jesus Christ, the responsibility is upon you. You've got to know Him. Now, why don't you believe? You believe everybody else but the Word of God. And I'll tell you right now, the Lord Jesus Christ will never fail you. That's why I sang that song this morning. Jesus
never fail. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. Oh, beloved, today, you that don't know Christ, the Scripture says to you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the responsibility resting upon you. Now, here's the gospel preached to Zechariah. All right, but we're not done yet. Let's go back now to Luke chapter 1, and let's look again. Not only is there a special act of grace bestowed upon you in order to enable you to be here again, and I don't know if God will let you do it or not. I don't know. I went up to the hospital last night to see Mrs. Shookey, because I had heard that she was in intensive care again. We walked the daughter and her son-in-law over in the corner, and my wife was gracious enough to pull them away from the bed and engage them in a conversation, and I was burdened for Miss Shookey. Because all I've ever had out of her was a hope so. And there she is, and I'll tell you right now, she's struggling to live. She's in tough shape. And so I reached over and I took her by the hand and I said, Edna, I said, I need to know. I said, if the Lord says it's time for you to go, I said, are you ready to go? She looked to me as if I surprised her. And then she kind of twinkled a little bit. She had a halfway smile on her face and she said, I have no fear. I'm trusting you. Now you say, Pastor, what can we do? That's enough for me, isn't it for you? You see, that's all we got to go on. But isn't it a joyous thing to hear that? Because always she used to say, well, I hope so. I don't know for sure. But now this time she didn't say that. She says, I'm not afraid. She says, I'm trusting you. And I told her, I just smiled at her. I said, you make me feel wonderful. Because you see, if something happens to her now, all right, I have her testimony. And what do you have here? You have a personal testimony from her that she's trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you right now, you've got nothing else to go on. And I'm glad to hear it. I hope you are. And I hope that you'll pray for her. And ask the Lord's will to be done. But now there's some of you here today, if you were in intensive care, and you would say, well, I wonder, then I would really be worried about you. You see, your time for salvation is now. The reason we want you to be saved is because, I'll tell you right now, we have a great Savior. Look at Luke chapter 1, if you will, and look for me again. In verse 32, here you have the angel again, Gabriel, speaking to Mary. And this is what he said about the Lord Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. All right, let's look at the greatness of Christ. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ is great in the perfection of his person. We don't serve a dead Savior. We don't serve an insignificant Savior. We serve a great Savior. Now, why was he called great? Because we find very clearly it goes back to the 14th chapter of Genesis and the 18th through the 20th verse where it speaks of the great God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is great in the perfection of his person because, you see, he is called also the Son of the Highest. The great high God. Nobody like him. Nobody can compare to him. And like the Isaiah said, unto us a child is given, and unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, and how glad we are. That's so. Now you say, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the infinite, immeasurable, incomprehensible, inconceivable God. You can't comprehend God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the infinite God. He's the immeasurable God. He's incomprehensible, you see. You can't comprehend him. He's got to enable you to believe him. Now let it soak in. You and I are absolutely at the disposal of the Lord Jesus. People say, you know, oh, you come, won't you right now just come and accept Jesus as your Savior? That sounds good, but I'll tell you right now, all that is a mental assent. The Spirit of God has got to make you realize who you are and what you are and the judgment you're under, and he's got to show you who this Christ is, and I'm glad he died. Because he's revealed to our heart. And he's the incomprehensible, inconceivable God. He fills all things, yet he is not contained by all things. He's great beyond the idea of greatness. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. He's before all things, and by him all things consist. That's the greatness of the Son of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Do you know him? I hope and pray you do. Second thing about Christ is this. Christ is fearless. He's incomparable. He's unique. He's all that God is, and all that man is as God created him. He's as truly God as if he were not man, and he's as truly man as if he were not God. He stands alone, and there's no comparison with him. That's why the Lord Jesus has told us in the book of Timothy, there is the man Christ Jesus. Nobody else. Now this is the greatness of Christ. Then like the scripture says, he shall be great. He's not only great in his person, but we find also he is great in the offices that have been given to him. Now preacher, what are they? Well, take your Bibles now, turn to Matthew chapter 1 and look at verse 21, and you'll find one of the first offices given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now notice, I could just take that apart, preach to you for an hour on it. Number one, he shall save. What are you talking about? No failure. He shall save what? He shall save his people. He knows who they are. Are you one of them? Only if you know Christ can you say, you're one of God's people. You're not resting in a hope so, think so, guess so, maybe so. You can't strive to be one of God's people by trying to live right. No, sir. You've got to have a dynamic experience and a personal encounter with this great God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he shall save his people from their sins. We find here you have him as reference to Savior. Then, he's not only Savior, he's prophet, as well as priest and king, given to him by God. Because like the angel told Mary, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him his father David. There you have his kingship. And it's a fulfillment of Psalm 2, where it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. This is the great God that we serve. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's great in the offices given to him because, as I've said before, we'll say again, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, to God the Father. You may go to hell, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord. You're not going to get out of it. The Lord's going to raise you right out of hell and put you at the great white throne judgment, and you're going to be cast, you're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and then the angel will take you and hurl you into the lake of fire, and you'll be there forever and ever. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you bow before him now? In mercy. Why don't you beg him now to have mercy on you and save you? Why? He's the great Savior. Now you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, he's great in his kingdom. He's great in his person. He's great in his offices. He's great in his healing. Now, why did the Lord Jesus Christ come? I'll tell you why he came. He came to restore the great ruin caused by sin. What are you talking about? Well, sin today. Man and a woman shack up together, have children. They don't like their children. They chain them to the bed, and then they mistreat them, and so on and so forth, and they don't call that sin. That's sin. Man doesn't like somebody. They go out and get an argument. Teenagers face that. They have an argument with somebody. That individual gets mad at you, pulls out a gun, and shoots them. And they say, oh, that's just way part of the environment. That's not part of this environment. That's sin. The lying, the cheating, the stealing, and everything else that's going on, it's sin. And my Lord, the great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to restore the great ruin caused by sin. Now you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, sin has done this. It's made man dead, dumb, deaf, and devoid of any ability or merit or worth before God. Man is a ruined rebel, an alien, an outcast, as well as disinherited of everything that is good and lasting. That's mankind. He's a totally depraved sinner. Every one of you here that are without Christ in this room are in that category. I don't care how pretty you may be. I don't care how good you smell. I don't care how well-mannered you may be. In the eyes of God, you're a rebel. You're disinherited, and you're devoid of everything good and lasting. Then we find also the Lord Jesus Christ came to remove us from our terrible condition. For the sin does this. It blinds and it blinds and it grinds the individual into an everlasting hell. Sin robs the individual of the bloom of the cheek, the health of your soul, as well as the fiber of your character. It leaves the individual a cursing, consigned rebel, suffering the torments and pangs and the flames of an eternal hell, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, bow the knee before Him now while you have the opportunity. This is the greatness of God. And our Lord came not only unto the ruin, but our Lord also came to do this. He came to bestow a great pardon. Preacher, what happened to your sin? Well, let me show you. Take your Bible now. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 38. If you're saved here today, this is what happened to your sin. Isaiah chapter 38. I want you to look at it. I want you to learn it and then chew on it. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17. Notice. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. Isn't that true today? Look around you. You ever watch people? Sometime you ought to do this. Go down to the mall sometime down here at Lakeside. Just sit down. And then you watch people as they walk by. Watch their expression. Watch their action. You'll see that 99 9/10% of them are very unhappy. You know why? Behold, for peace they have bitterness. Bitterness. What happens at Christmas time? They laid the individual with gifts and so on and so forth. They try to buy the friendship of the person. They try to satisfy the selfishness of the little boys and girls. And I'll tell you right now, 15 minutes after the presents have all been opened, they've been cast aside and they say, I want something else. Behold, for peace, I had great bitterness. Ah, but don't stop there. Look again. Notice what it says. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. You ever go back in your lifetime? You ever go back 15 years or better when it before you knew Christ? You ever go back and realize what you've done? You ever go back and think of the shame and you look at it and say, oh, now all this and all this. All right, now what happened? Those sin can't play. They can't play. Well, why not? Because our Lord has delivered our soul from corruption, because He's done what? He's cast all our sin behind His back. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if there's a sign on my back or not. I'll better find out soon. That's how I find out. I can't see if there is. Now, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He took your sin. He took mine. He bore it in His body. His back. In other words, God doesn't see your sin no more than we do after we're converted. Oh, aren't you glad? You think it. Your sin at one time plagued you, caused you bitterness. You had no peace. Our Lord has done what? He's delivered our soul from corruption because he cast all our sin behind his back. Now take your Bibles again if you will. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17. Those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Oh, how wonderful that is. Now here's the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's great in his person, he's great in his offices, he's great in his dealing. You say, what are you talking about? He came to bestow a great pardon. Then, as I was songwriter wrote, he said, God forgot all my sins. There at Calvary, he forgot all my sins, but he remembered me. You ever chew on that? Now, believer, that's encouragement, isn't it? All your sin has been forgotten. And then our Lord does this. He not only is great in his dealing, but we also find very clearly he supplies the great want we all have. You heard me pray this morning, Lord, we need you. Well, why do we need Christ? Because we can't understand anything without him. And we find very clearly, what does he do? He supplies the great want. We all in our hazards got to have faith to believe Christ. He can't work that faith up or buy it. He can't bring it down. It's sovereignly bestowed by God through grace. Because it's by grace we are saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not only does God give us the faith to believe, but then we also have the great assurance. Now, I don't know when Mrs. Shookey received the assurance from the Lord God of heaven. I just know she told me. I'm glad to hear that. Before it used to be, well, I hope so. That's not assurance. And beloved, you can't be saved and not know it. Because the Apostle Paul brings that out over and over again. And he said, he sums it all up and he says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And our Lord has done this. He came to bestow a great pardon. Then he supplies the great want we all have. All right, we need faith, then we need God's assurance, and then we need God's sustenance. You say, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Anybody go hungry all this week? Anybody here that's missed five meals this week? Raise your hand. Anybody here that doesn't have a dinner to go home to today? And you don't have any money to buy one, so you're going to go hungry all day long? Raise your hand. You say, I haven't clarified. No hands have gone up. All right. I don't see anybody here clad in rags and tatters. I don't see anybody here coming here with paper in their shoes for souls. Well, you say, preacher, it's on. I mean it. God has supplied all our sustenance. He's given us more than any of us could ever deserve. He's given us all faith in Christ. And how wonderful it is. And with some of you, he's given you some precious children. All right, raise them right. You rule them. Don't let them rule you. Some have come along and said, what am I going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to take your position as father and mother, and you're going to exercise your authority, and you're going to train them. Because that's the only way they're going to have security. Last night on the way home from the hospital, or just before we walked out of the hospital, there were two little teenagers. They were working at the desk. And I told them, I said, well, it's about time you come back to work. They looked at me, you know, just to say, well, who's that nut talking like that? And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, when we came up, I said, they gave us the wrong number. I said, we had to talk to the telephone. And I said, they gave us the wrong place. I said, I'm glad you're back here. So then I said, what are you reading? I said, you're reading some old filthy novel? Oh, I'm reading something for school. I said, what grade are you in? He said, I'm a sophomore. They went to Dryden High School. 16 years old. I said, are you dating? I wish. You said, preach. They said, I said, your mother and father won't let you? No, not until I'm 16. I said, good, that's exactly where I'll be. So then I asked him, I said, where do you go to church? Well, they go to the Methodist church. So I asked him if they knew Dorothy Sitton. Oh, yeah. I said, I summed it up and I put it this way. I said, you don't have services on Sunday night. I said, come on down and join our young people's group. I said, we got a good one here. I'm hoping they will. They looked at me kind of funny, you know. Oh, we just might do that. I said, good, we'll look for it. Now, that's my contact for the week. I said, one of them. Now, if I can do it, can't you? Now, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, we find very clearly, our Lord does what? He supplies all our needs, our sustenance. And then, not only that, he'll give us grace to go through whatever trial we have to go through. Now, chew on it. He'll give you grace to go through a trial. I don't know what trial it is. He'll give you grace to grow through it. How do you know, preacher? I've been through it. You may be going through some too. All right. God will give you grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know how come? Because we have a great Savior. And then to sum it all up, not only that, my Lord's also making great preparation. Oh, I believe old John likes to sing that song that we sang this morning. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Aren't you like to sing that? Now you say, why, preacher? Well, turn to John chapter 14. And I'll tell you why. These are not just words. These are reality. John chapter 14. Look again. Verses 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, preacher, wait a minute. Let not your heart be troubled. That's what he says, first of all, doesn't he? Let not your heart be troubled. Why? You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you might be also. Now, what do you have here? This great God is making great preparation. Now you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and is that which the wisdom and power of our great God could make. Now, are you going to heaven with me? You're not if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can only come by Him, because you see, He's not only making great preparations, but then also there's going to be a great judgment. Now turn back to Psalm chapter 2, and we play in this closing moment. In Psalm chapter 2, we find very clearly, look at verses 9 through 11. This is what it says. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. I'm going to ask you a question. Will you trust God? Oh, preacher, I can. I know you can. Trust Him. Thank the Lord to believe, to give you the faith to believe. He came to the man that had a leprous son. He said, if thou canst believe. He said, canst thou believe? And the man cried out. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And that's what your cry ought to be. Lord, I believe you. Help my unbelief. You know what will happen to you? You know what will happen to you, don't you? But you know what's taking place with some of you? Some of you, they got the silly idea that you got to be saved in this time. And that God's not going to do it any other man. I'm going to tell you something. God's going to save you when you least expect it. Don't you try to put God in the corner. I remember what Darla said so very clearly. She said, I never thought it would be this way. She was in that rut. All right? You'll never think it'll be your way either, because you see, your way is wrong. God's way is the right way. My Lord says to you today, come. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the great Christ that we have tried to exalt. He came to do a great work. My prayer is that He'll do it in your heart, even at this hour. Shall we pray? Our Father, this morning, thank you for this time together. And Lord, We've only begun to scratch the surface, not even that, with regard to thy greatness. But oh, as we read again, as you told Mary, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give up, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. Oh, what a great Christ thou art. Thank you again for being our substitute. Thank you for being our sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for being our sin offering. Thank you for being our surety. And thank you, Lord, for being our Savior as well as our Sovereign. Oh, work in these hearts that need thee, and strengthen thy people. And help us, Lord, to rejoice more as we contemplate again what a great Savior thou art. All the glory belongs to thee, and if there's any shame, Lord, it's mine. So work out thy purpose here. In thy precious name we ask you. Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come, and we're going to take up our offering, and then we'll stand and have our closing prayer.